Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Day 17 of the partial government shutdown, and federal workers are really getting antsy. This is the second largest federal government shutdown, and workers are more and more concerned about when they'll go back to their jobs, when they'll get paid, or if they'll get paid. Well, tonight, we're taking a look at the cause and effect of the partial government shutdown. My guests are Richard Loeb. He is senior policy counsel with the American Federation of Government Employees, the largest union for federal workers, and Dr. Doris Sartor, president of Blacks in Government. If you have a comment, if you have a question, we want to hear from you tonight. If you're a federal government worker, or if you have a job that is directly or even indirectly impacted by this federal government shutdown, I'd like to hear from you tonight. How are you making it? Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Richard, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. Dr. Sartor, nice to talk to you again. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir, and thank you for allowing us to share our perspective.
Absolutely. Let me start with Richard. Richard, we keep hearing some 800,000 federal government employees are impacted. AFGE represents the lion's share of these people, some 700,000 government workers. What are you telling your membership about what this is about? Is it just about the wall?
It's about using federal employees and the government agencies that serve the American people as bargaining chips in what is essentially a policy dispute.
Explain that.
Well, it's well known that there's a dispute between the president and many in Congress about the building of whatever it may be called today, a wall, a steel wall. It seems to change every few days, but the president can't seem to get his way with Congress at this point. So he's holding federal employees and federal agencies hostages. We're calling it a lockout in many ways, because although some federal employees, maybe approximately 500,000 of the 800,000 who are not being paid right now, have to go to work, they're going to work with no real guarantee of pay, at least not necessarily in the during the normal period they should be paid. And then another 300,000 are just being told to sit at home and not do the important work that they want to do for the American people and that needs to be done. So the federal agencies and, most importantly, federal workers are being held hostage to what is essentially a policy dispute. AFGE's position is that we are in favor of border security. We're not taking a position on any particular method, whether it be a wall or electronic, what have you. We are taking a position that we need to advocate for our members and for the people that we represent, that they be paid, that they work for the American people, that they do the jobs they were hired to do and that are really necessary to do, and that they be paid. And, of course, for the people who have to go to work anyway, such as the people who work for the Transportation Security Administration, the Transportation Security Officers, the people who work in the Bureau of Prisons, the people who work for the Border Patrol and Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and many other agencies where they're told they are accepted and need to continue their work, albeit they'll be paid when they're paid. Yeah. Whenever that may be.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about this partial federal government shutdown, 17 days in and no end in sight. Dr. Sartor, what are you telling, and I should say, what are you hearing from your constituents in Blacks and government? Put a fine point on some of the things that they are most concerned about.
Most of our employees are concerned about their livelihood because their source of income, their means of support is dependent upon their government employment. The missed paychecks not only is going to have an impact on their ability to pay their bills on time, their ability to meet the needs of their community, but also their local economy, because they're not able to pay for the child care they want. They're not able to do the shopping that they want, and they're going to be making these tough decisions that really aren't fair. I'm totally in agreement with the fact that the government employees should not be used as a bargaining chip and should not be held hostage.
You know, one of the things, Dr. Sartor, that those of us who are living in and around the D.C. metro, beyond the obvious, yes, we are talking about Washington, D.C., District of Columbia, but we're talking about some 300,000 federal government employees in Prince George's County. That's a lot. And then, of course, the, you know, the surrounding areas. We have Montgomery County. We, of course, we have, you know, we have federal installations in Fairfax, Virginia, as well as in the district proper. One of the serious concerns is D.C. is one of the, if not the most expensive place to live in America. These people are facing a particularly difficult hardship, are they not?
You're totally correct. In addition to that, also the effects of them having their tax refunds delayed, because that's also a way that they've been used to make sure that they are economically stable, especially in the D.C. area.
You know, Richard, one of the things that the president has been saying for the past couple of days, although there has not been, as far as we know, any reported substantiation to his comment about most of the federal government workers supporting this partial government shutdown. Do you have any information that would suggest that that is correct?
I would call that as an alternative fact.
Okay.
I have spoken just in the last few days to hundreds of federal employees, and I can't even imagine that even a scintilla of federal employees are in favor of any kind of shutdown. For one thing, as Dr. Sartor said, there's the simple matter of people are trying to earn a living. It's going to be very difficult for many of them to earn a living, not having any idea when their next paycheck may be issued. Secondly, federal employees want to do their job. So the idea that of shutting it down and not allowing them to do their job is really an anathema to them. Mm-hmm. And the third, many of them are doing their job, and they're required to do their job. Something like 500,000 of the 800,000 people who are affected by this lockout, shutdown, whatever it's called, are in fact doing their job. And so, you know, if you work, you want to be paid for your work, and it's not just the money. Although for many, you know, that's the practical reality is the money. They need the money to pay the rent, food, and everything else that we all need to pay for. But the fact is that it's a certain level of almost lack of concern for the fact that these are people who are working people, and I think that there's a sort of a lack of respect for them and a lack of dignity for what it is that they do, and for those who are actually going to work every day, for the fact that they deserve to be recognized, and the one way they're recognized is by being paid. So that's not happening. I have not met a single federal employee who says they're in favor of being basically used as a pawn.
And nor have I spoken to anyone, and I've spoken to several friends and associates, former college classmates, all of whom work for the federal government. I'll talk a little bit about that later and what they've shared with me, and it's really difficult. Let me go to the phone lines real quick. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the cause and effect of the partial government shutdown now in its 17th day. If you have a comment or question, give us a call. Charles, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind? Charles calling from Oxon Hill. What's on your mind? Charles, give me a call back if you can. Let's go to Ed calling from Maryland. Ed, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm Uber, Lyft driver, and I'm doing probably 25% of the business that I was doing before the shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
It's affecting us in a negative way, and I would hope that being that there's a number of government employees in this area, like you all just said, none of the government employees that I've talked to, and I know quite a few, have said that they're in favor of this. Like the guy in the White House said that a lot of the employees, government employees, are in favor of what's going on. I would hope that these government employees in this area would show up maybe this week at the White House to voice their opinion, do a, like a march on the White House and show him that the government employees in this area are not for this shutting down the government for the wall.
Interesting point. Ed, thank you. Thank you so much. I want to ask you real quick, Ed, prior to the shutdown, were you doing more or less driving for the ride-sharing companies?
Oh, I was doing quite a bit more. I'm doing probably 25% of what I was doing before. Because and that's across the board. I mean, it's slow. It's slow because of, probably 50% to 70% of our riders are government employees, taking them into work, picking them up from work. And a lot of them, and the crazy thing about it is many of the government employees are Uber and Lyft drivers on the side. So we've had an influx of drivers, but an outflux of riders. So that's hurting us, too, because so many of them are trying to drive to make extra money, you know?
Interesting. Ed, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the partial federal government shutdown. If you are a federal government employee who is sitting at home, or perhaps you are working and going into the office without pay, if you are a subcontractor, contractor, if you do any work, if you have a food cart outside a federal office building, and perhaps you're just not selling the volume of food that you usually do, give us a call. I would definitely like to hear from you. Dr. Sartor, what is it that concerns you most during the course of this shutdown?
I would have to say they're being so insensitive to the needs of the American people, not just black government employees, but all those we serve. And with government employees, we are a group of people that are committed to our jobs. We are the ones that are there to make sure things are done for the betterment of America. For him to say, the administration to say that they're not concerned, that they will keep us, he does not concern himself that he will keep us out of work for maybe even years, which is totally ridiculous in my mindset. That's a big concern of mine, that he is not appreciating the skills that we bring to the workplace and what we do for America as a whole.
Gloria, calling from Maryland. Gloria, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I was just wondering if the union has anything planned to try to put some pressure on the White House, on Congress, to end this shutdown. I mean, are there any kind of mass protest plan, anything that we can participate in? Because I feel like if we just sit home and be on social media, we're not putting enough pressure on Congress and the president to end this thing.
What about that, Richard? That's a great question. Does the lawsuit that the union has filed have anything to do with that action, or would you consider that separate?
Well, I'm going to thank Gloria for her question, and we are planning, we're in a planning stage right now for a major rally in front of, right near the White House, in front of the AFL-CIO building. And I think they'll be marching over to the White House, permits permitting and the like. I believe it's scheduled for Thursday around noon. So hopefully as many federal employees and relatives and friends of federal employees will participate in that. And I wanted to also point out that 85% of all federal employees do not work in the D.C. metro area. So, you know, people think of this as a D.C. issue. I hear the fellow who's an Uber driver talked about loss of business. But 85% are not in the D.C. area, and it's having an effect across the country. I mean, most TSOs are not in D.C. People who work for the Department of Homeland Security are spread all over the country. And the Justice Department similarly is found almost every place. So that's a big issue. About the lawsuit that you're referring to is one that AFG has partnered with a lawyer who brought a lawsuit on a law firm that brought a lawsuit back in 2013 seeking damages for failure to comply with the Fair Labor Standards Act.
Well, hold that point, okay, because I've got to take a break, but I do want to get more details about that lawsuit and how it could very well impact federal government workers who are right now not getting paid. And also, you said that rally is going to be on Thursday?
Yes, around noon.
Around noon, starting at the AFL-CIO building.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. American Federation of Labor.
It's the AFL-CIO, yes.
Yeah, there you go. Noon on Thursday. When we get more information about that, we'll also be posting that on our website on WHUR.com. Lines are still open. Want to hear from you. Federal government workers, contractors, subcontractors, anyone who has any job that is impacted by this federal government shutdown, please give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Coming up next, the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. This conversation will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. Want to get your phone calls in. Stay with us.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 142, HBCU and Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking about the cause and effect of the partial government shutdown now in its 17th day. My guests are Richard Loeb. He is Senior Policy Counsel with the American Federation of Government Employees. That is the largest union for federal workers. And Dr. Doris Sarter, she is President of Blacks in Government. Want to hear from you. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Before the break, Richard, we were talking about the lawsuit. What was the genesis of it back in 2013? And how does, what was it about? And how does it impact this particular shutdown, if at all?
Well, the 2013 suit was based upon the shutdown that occurred in October of that year. And there were a number of so-called accepted federal employees, as there are in this shutdown lockout, who were told you must report for work and you'll get paid when we get ready to pay you, whenever that may be. And there was a suit filed arguing that that Fair Labor Standards Act, which requires for people who are covered by the FLSA, which includes many of the people that we represent, that they have to be paid at the minimum wage, at a very minimum, and they have to be paid in a timely manner. And what we're facing right now is almost the exact same situation. In fact, depending on the timing of when employees are paid, we may face the identical situation. People are working right now. They are subject to the FLSA. They must be paid at least the minimum wage, and they're not being paid at all. So we have, again, partnered with the same attorney who brought the suit back in 2013, and we are, we are examining, and well, we filed the suit, and we're examining every day to see if pay is delayed and if more and more violations of the Fair Labor Standards Act are occurring.
So there is precedence on the side of workers for this.
There is right now. Yes, there is. That we were successful, the plaintiffs were successful in the United States Court of Federal Claims. The judge ruled in their favor. They're still, this gives you some idea of how long these suits take to resolve, they're still calculating the damages for approximately 25,000 people who were affected.
From 2013?
From 2013,
so
yes.
So you're suggesting that the 25,000 people who were successful in that original lawsuit, they have not recouped?
They have not received the money yet. The attorneys are still working with the parties and with the agencies to basically reconstruct payroll records to determine the amounts of money to be paid. But yes, the court has ruled in favor of what we call entitlement, that they are entitled to be paid. The exact amounts, the days for which they should be paid, the number of hours are still being worked on.
That's amazing. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Maryland calling from Virginia. Maryland, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Sir, what's on my mind? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I work for the school system, and I work in nutrition. I'm concerned about the kids who get the free lunch. A lot of the kids get free lunch, and most of the free lunch is funded by USDA, and that's government. And that's going to affect these kids. Not only that, I feel that if the government is shut down, if this man who they say is our president, which he is, Congress should not get paid. If the government is not getting paid, the American people are not getting paid, nobody needs to get paid. This is not fair to the American people.
Okay. Marilyn, thank you so much for sharing that with us. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You were going to say something, Richard? Go right
well,
ahead.
Well, it's I can't address the specifics of what the caller just mentioned with respect to school nutrition, but I can tell you that the so-called SNAP program run by the Department of Agriculture needs to have action taken, or SNAP benefits will be cut off to something like 38 million Americans who are currently receiving them. And I believe the program has enough money to run to sometime into February, but something like on the second or third week of February, that's it for the SNAP program. Mm-hmm. That's only 38 million people. I mean, It's only 38 million. I'm sorry if that sounds a little sarcastic, but it's very serious matter. And, you know, is it going to take having people starving in order to get some action?
Let's talk about that, because, you know, Dr. Sartor, over the past several days, I've called friends and I've had friends call me, and they are complaining about this situation, and I'm not saying that those complaints are without merit, but they are certainly disturbed about this. Just today, Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen had a panel of people at a round table about the shutdown, and one of the women on the panel was she's a friend of mine. She's a NASA scientist, and while she is concerned, she said she's less concerned with herself and more concerned with some of her colleagues. She said one of her co-workers started going to a food pantry today. This is certainly not an exaggeration. Last week, I had a friend of mine who works for Homeland Security, who is sitting at home, and she said, any idea where I can get some part-time work during this? I had another friend who works for the Department of Homeland Security. She said today she is going to apply for unemployment insurance. She is going to do it online because she can't get through on the phone. What's the call of action as far as you're concerned, Dr. Sartor, for your constituents? What do you want them to do?
I would like them to be supportive of each other. Blacks in Government, we are an advocacy organization, professional development organization, and we are there for each other in the D.C. area and also in the other 10 regions within Blacks in Government. We have a network of support for each other. So what I'm hoping my members will do, will reach out to their chapters and to their regional councils to seek individual one-on-one support. We did that when we had Hurricane Katrina, when we had some of the other national problems, and that's the way we got through the situation. We helped each other. We supported each other. So please, those that are Blacks in Government members, please reach out to your chapters and your regions, and also come to me as national president. We will look at finding ways to assist you, because we are a family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same question for you, Richard. And one other anecdotal example, I saw a friend of mine over the weekend, and I asked her, you know, we were talking about other things, But I asked her, as I was leaving, I said, how are you doing with this federal government shutdown? She's an IRS employee. And she said, I'm doing okay now. But she said, my next mortgage payment, even though we're in the beginning of January, the way things are going, I may have to make a half payment. That I did a double take, a half of a mortgage payment. This is someone who's worked for the IRS for decades, who I know to be responsible. And she was worried. Is there, outside of a rally on Thursday, is there a call for action for your constituents?
Well, we're always calling for action. Our union is meeting on a daily basis with many, many members of Congress on both sides of the aisle. And we are pressing the fact that whatever policy disputes may, engender the current situation, the current crisis, that, the damage that could be done will be so much more than just the current disagreements. The economic damage, the damage to families, the damage to businesses that will result from the current shutdown lockout is incalculable. And we are, pressing every day to with both Senate and House members to try to do what they can do to come and do the job. They came to Washington to do a job, and we're pressing them to do that job. We are very, very grateful for all the support we've received, and we continue to look forward to seeing this situation resolved as soon as possible. I do want to say that we are coming up, and I think it was Mick Mulvaney, the director of OMB, who said just the other day that...
Who is now the acting chief of staff.
He is now the acting chief of staff. He's dual-hatted right now. And he's saying that if this matter is not resolved, I think by midnight tomorrow, Tuesday, that paychecks that many federal employees are due to receive this Friday, the 11th, won't occur. And when that happens, then I think, I hope it's before then, I think action will have to be taken, because this is not just federal employees. Of course, it's federal employees and then everybody who deals with federal employees. So in the end, it ends up being essentially the entire country.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are taking a look at the cause and effect of the partial government shutdown. If you are impacted by this, whether you are a federal government worker, no matter what your GS designation, your government service designation happens to be, whether it is single digits or double digits, GS 11, 12, 13, whatever, GS 5, GS 6, everyone is being impacted who works for the federal government in one way or another. We'd like to hear from you. Gregory calling from Maryland. Gregory, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Gregory, are you there? Let's go to Shay. Shay calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? I think we lost Shay as well. One of the things that did come out, I think it's called the Pilots Association, another big union for pilots. Obviously, they are under the FAA designation. They are also concerned about this, even though the Trump administration has said that this is not affecting flight safety on the ground or in the air, but the pilots differ. Are you hearing, Richard, from your union colleagues from other parts of the government? What are they telling you?
Well, I think you're referring to the air traffic controllers, which are represented by another union, but we're definitely hearing from people that we represent, including corrections officers at the Federal Bureau of Prisons, that at some point something has to give. People cannot continue to go to work and not get paid. You've covered all the reasons why that's starting to make people very nervous. While I was waiting in your green room, I was watching a report on national news that the transportation security officers are starting to get very nervous. They want to do their jobs, but at what point do they have to think about getting other employment? Now, we don't want to see that happen. These people are highly trained. It takes a fair amount of time to learn the skill set, and you know, is this an attempt? I mean, I'm being somewhat, I think this may be a bit much, but I almost wonder if this is an attempt to run people out of government.
Hmm.
Because why should people stick around if they think getting paid is a bit of a crapshoot?
The interesting thing, I was just kind of touched by something that my producer said earlier today. You know, growing up in the Washington area, one of the things that was always suggested by families is, you know, look, whether you had a college degree or not, get a good government job. Because they were, they paid well, they were safe, they had benefits, and you didn't have to really worry about, for lack of a better term, any kind of chaos or foolishness other than just the day to day of doing your job just like anyone else. Dr. Sartor, is that still, the attitude for government service, or does this kind of situation give you pause about government work?
Well, it gives me pause about government work, because government, as you said, has been long considered the most secure form of employment for black employees. And looking at what they're doing to us now, who wants to come into the government if they have to deal with this, if they have to be treated this way and not respected, and we're about making a living? But one thing you stated caused me pause for consideration is that at one time you could go into the government and do your job and maybe not be concerned. But now we have discrimination, we have disparate treatment, we have favoritism that our organization is looking at. So the government is a great place to work, but we still have areas of improvement that we're looking to address. So that is a good point.
I need to take a break. When we come back, more of this conversation about the cause and effect of the partial government shutdown. What's next? Tomorrow we should know. If there is no deal, then there probably will be a delay in paychecks for Friday. And if that happens, what's next for you? We'll talk about it. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're back. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about the cause and effect of the partial government shutdown. My guests are Richard Loeb, Senior Policy Counsel with the American Federation of Government Employees, the largest union for federal workers, and Dr. Doris Sartor, President of Blacks in Government. And we talked about this last week, but I think it's helpful to to bring up some of the things that people will have to do if no checks come through on Friday, if there is no kind of compromise or deal by tomorrow at midnight. As I said, earlier, Dr. Sartor, or a friend of mine, said today that she's going to be applying for unemployment insurance. Your thoughts on the necessity and the risks of doing that kind of thing, the financial risks of doing that kind of thing.
In reference to unemployment.
Yes, ma'am.
Requesting that, my understanding is that they have to be aware that when they do have their position back, that they would have to pay those funds back. So they really have to make an informed decision based on their needs, what they're able to do. But what I would like our members to do is look at helping each other and looking at those local resources that we can make sure that our members are aware. But first, of course, I'm positive, and I'm just hopeful that we do not have to worry about that, and that our government employees will be paid on January 11th.
You said local resources, such as what?
Such as, for example, I'm in Montgomery, Alabama. We have our shelters. We have different local nonprofit organizations that will support them in reference to providing funds. We have churches that do donations, and of course the one-on-one assistance that we provide to each other.
I must say, in all honesty, the thought that this crisis, however you look at it, would put a hard-working federal government worker and his or her family in a position where they would have to consider going to a shelter, Dr. Sartor?
Well, I'm hoping that won't happen, but they can just get the resources to help them through this time. And I am awfully hopeful that they will also be able to get their money back as far as the government, as we did during the last shutdown. I was furloughed also and wasn't paid, but was able to get the funds back after I went back to work.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have to stand on the positive side of this. Of course, it's disturbing that it's happened and they have to even go through the process, but we are resilient people, and we have been through a lot. So I know we will move forward and progress in what we need to do in reference to this.
What is the next step in your mind, Richard, with this situation? Let us say the worst case scenario for the next 4 or 5 days is that perhaps that no check comes for the 11th. What do you tell people to do?
Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that. But I think what we're focusing on is the fact that this is not a third world country. And when you have situations where the government shuts down, where people aren't paid, and it's not just federal employees, it's recipients of grants, contracts, supplemental nutrition assistance program. I mean, at what point do we start to wonder whether we still have, you know, a functioning democracy? And I think it doesn't reflect well on the country, going way beyond the issue of federal employees and the direct impact on people who receive federal funding or employees of the federal government. You know, I think that we need to sit back a moment and think about what this means in terms of our position in the world and the position that it places the United States economy in a general way. I mean, I could see a situation where we start to cause lack of confidence in general, not only throughout the economy, but throughout the world. And so I think that before people start to, you know, play little games of chicken, you know, don't cross this line, don't cross that line, there needs to be some, you know, more sober thinking going on to resolve the issue.
One of the things that I was struck by is that, well, some people may say without looking below the surface, well, I work for state government, and so this may not necessarily impact me. But I think that, you know, the reality is that this could very well impact state governments. It could impact other municipalities, cities, and counties, and the like, because of the trickle-down effect. If the money doesn't flow downhill, and I'm only talking about money flowing downhill, but if the money doesn't flow downhill from the federal government to states and the operations that they depend on for, you know, they depend on federal government money for, that could also be, you know, be a problem, whether it be transportation, roads, and the like, but also health services, for example. Again, we talked about federal programs that go through the school system, even.
The state and local agencies of government are very dependent upon many of the federal agencies that right now are on lockout, shutdown, and this is going to affect them. I'll take an example of something. Wall Street routinely firms file with the Securities and Exchange Commission.
Yes, the SEC,
The SEC is not operational. At what point, you know, do you say this is no longer tolerable?
Yeah, and one of the other, you know, examples, even today, there was an accident on Interstate 295, you know, I-295, the BW Parkway. For those who are in this area, it is a federal highway. So we got the report that there was an accident, but because of the federal government shutdown, the public affairs officer, the media officer, is on furlough. She was unable or unavailable to give us any information about this incident. And so as a result, we only knew that there was an incident and that it did cause a bit of a backup at some point. And I think that it's important that we get our information, but we're really, really far down the you know, that ladder. But I think the big concern is that at some point, we're going to stop cutting through the fat of this and start to get into the meat and the bone, and somebody is going to start yelling.
Well, I think it's going to shake confidence across the board, and when people begin to believe that, you know, they can't really rely on any kind of stability in the operations of basic foundations of society.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to expand this beyond what it is, but you can't just simply say, well, we're going to shut down the following functions of government, and whether it be Department of the Interior, DHS, EPA, we can go through the laundry list, agriculture, I mean, or we haven't shut them down, they're operating, but nobody who works on them is going to get paid. So we've effectively shut them down.
Well, we're going to continue to watch this. I want to thank both of you for talking to us, Richard Loeb and Dr. Doris Sartor. Thank you for sharing some time with us this evening. I appreciate it, and we will continue to watch this story. That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM, Channel 141 for this Monday, January 7th, 2019. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.